Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, and I want us to read two incidents of ministry that come from the life of our Lord Jesus. Matthew 9, we pick up the reading at verse 18. We're actually breaking into Jesus' teaching. Matthew 9 and verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Now, we've been thinking recently about beholding the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. And we acknowledge that there's a difference between our experience now, living in this world, and what our experience will be when we finally reach heaven. Just as we were singing, "When I stand in glory, I will see your face." What a blessed prospect to have before us. The differences between now and then are highlighted by those biblical expressions, face to face, what we will experience in heaven, and our experience now, looking in a mirror dimly or darkly. Or that other familiar expression, walking by faith, that's what we're doing now, then walking by sight. We acknowledge with great thankfulness all that is our privilege of beholding the Lord Jesus now, and all that we can see of him through the pages of Scripture. Yet it ought to make us long for that experience which will far surpass anything that we know now. Part of our difficulty now is that we're walking by faith. And when you honestly examine your faith, you discover all kinds of problems. It's often weak, plagued by discouragement or unbelief, dull and cold, struggling with sins and inconsistency. If this is the nature of our faith, and faith is the means by which we behold Christ now in his glory, no wonder that our present views of Christ are often lackluster and poor. What can we do? It ought to be our desire to have the best sight of Christ that we can have even now. How are we going to improve our situation? How can we attain to greater views of our glorious Savior as we walk by faith? Well, first of all, we must be convinced that faith in Christ must be exercised. We have to be convinced that faith in Christ must be exercised. Now, we know that faith is the gift of God. It's not the result of our own hearts. It's something that God has given to us when he grants us new birth by his Holy Spirit. But having given us that faith, he expects us to exercise it, to use it. He doesn't repent for us, or read the Bible for us, or any of the other things that are part and parcel of the life of faith. We must do the believing. We must put this gift of God into action. That is the characteristic of faith that is often seen in the gospel accounts. I'm sure you've read those well-known refrains, often punctuating Jesus' ministry when he says to people, "Your faith has saved you," or "Your faith has made you well." What does the Lord Jesus mean by those expressions? Well, he's simply saying that those people had exercised their faith in coming to Christ and trusting in him. Think of the stories we just read briefly from Matthew 9. First of all, Jairus, the synagogue ruler. He has a little girl who's really sick and eventually dies. Well, what did he do? He had to come and he had to seek out Christ and he had to ask the Lord Jesus to come and help him and help his daughter. That was the way he exercised Christ. He came to the Lord Jesus and he asked him. And then that woman with the flow of blood problems, sick for 12 years, gone to every doctor imaginable, and nobody had been able to help her. What did she have to do? Well, she had to believe that Jesus could heal her, and that she had to come into contact with Jesus. And so she thought, if I can just get close to him, if I can even take hold of his robe and touch him, surely I will be healed. This was exercising faith, believing that Jesus could help her and coming into contact with him to receive the desired blessing. Now, you can multiply those stories in the gospel over and over. The blind men who cried out for Jesus to help them, and they wouldn't be silenced until he came their way. The religious leaders who came to the Lord Jesus with all of their questions. Zacchaeus, who came with spiritual inquisitiveness and even climbed up into the tree to wait for the Lord Jesus to come. Even the thief on the cross, who had to acknowledge his own sinfulness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, and ask that Jesus would remember him when he came into his kingdom. These people were all exercising faith. They were putting faith into action. They did something to come to Jesus and experience him. That's the nature of faith. It doesn't just sit and wait for something to happen. It's not, well, okay, Jesus, I'm here, I'm believing in you, you've got to come and do something in my life. Faith goes after Jesus until it receives from him all that is desired. And that's surely one of the answers to our problem of having few and dim views of the glory of our Savior. We're not exercising faith as we need to. Well, secondly, what can we do to exercise faith in Christ? What can we do to exercise faith in Christ? Well, we must use every means that God has given to us to seek after our Savior. And as we use those means, we must be like Moses crying out to our Savior, "Show me your glory. Help me to see you and have a sight of you that will thrill my soul." So we have to use the means of the Scriptures. We have to be taking up our Bible and reading from cover to cover. And as we read, asking the Lord Jesus, "Show yourself to me. Help me to see you in all the types and prophecies of the Old Testament. Help me to see you in these gospel stories that so manifest your love and power. Help me to dig into the letters of the New Testament and understand your lordship and your care for your church. Lord Jesus, help me to see you." Even our Savior would say to the people of his day, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness of me. That's got to be our perspective as we come to our Bible reading daily. Lord Jesus, help me to seek after you and find me here in your word. Obviously, we must also seek after the Lord Jesus in prayer. Just like the people in the Gospels who wanted to meet with Christ, they had to come to him and they had to speak to him. Wherever he was, they went seeking after him. I was just reading this morning in the Gospel of John how Jesus fed the 5,000, and then the next morning he wasn't there, and they all jumped in their boats and rushed across the lake to Capernaum to find him again. Are we like that? Eager to speak to Christ. We don't have to rush across the lake. We just have to pour forth words from our lips or from our souls, and we can speak with our Lord Jesus. What an incredible reality that our Savior, dwelling now in heaven, has his ears wide open to hear you when you pray to him. There's no problem on the side of Christ. Are you exercising faith in coming to him and speaking to him? A third means we must come looking for him in the place that he has promised to be, his church. How often we come and he's not the person that we're thinking about, greeting, or spending time with. And yet, if Jesus is going to be found anywhere, it will be among his people. You all know his promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Do we exercise faith in that promise of Jesus? Have we come here this morning and from our hearts been crying to him, Lord Jesus, there's more than two or three here, and we're gathered in your name. We're confessing your lordship. We're here to honor you. Lord Jesus, make yourself known to us today. Speak to us clearly. Reveal yourself in your glory as we open up your word. And a fourth means, obviously, we have to ask God to open our eyes as we come to this table week by week. Faith must be exercised as we come to the supper, to see beyond the elements themselves. Yes, these elements appointed by our Lord Jesus to represent his body sacrificed on the cross, his blood that he spilled as he died there for us. And to look beyond the elements and think, Lord Jesus, you are doing that for me. And how even today I still need your cross work. Oh Lord Jesus, many years ago you saved me. I was converted. But this past week I've sinned. Even this morning getting ready for church. Maybe there was an argument or we were upset with one another on the way to church. And here I am needing your precious blood again, Lord Jesus, to cleanse me from all my sin. If you will exercise faith day by day, going after the Lord Jesus, you will realize the gracious promise that our God has given. Through the prophet, God said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I trust that you're here today and you're seeking Jesus. And in our times and the passing of the elements, times for quiet prayer, that from your heart you will be exercising faith this morning, and that it will be your privilege to behold the Lord Jesus in his glory. Let's bow in prayer.